If you've been putting off a home renovation project due to the sky-high cost of building materials, well, there's some good news. Hi, I'm Rob West. Prices have actually gone down a bit for one major building material. The bad news? It continues to rise for many others. I'll talk about that and some renovation projects you might want to think twice about. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, so the overall cost of building materials continues to rise, up 0.5% in July, the latest month that figures are available. But the price of lumber actually fell nearly 2.5%, helping to at least moderate a bit the cost of home construction and renovation projects. The bottom line is, if you can wait even as much as another year before taking on a major remodeling project, you could save some money. New home construction is down nearly 19% from a year ago, and that should help bring down the cost of building materials in the coming months. Now, about those remodeling projects, while it's true that most of them will increase the value of your home, that's only one part of the equation. You also have to factor how much they cost. And despite what you might hear on some of those cable flip this or fail that TV shows, many improvement projects won't increase your home value anywhere near what you'll pay for them. You'll recoup some of the investment, but not all. First on the list is an in-ground swimming pool. Installing a pool could cost you $50,000 or more. Add to it the ongoing extra costs of maintenance and insurance. So pools are pricey. But according to the National Association of Realtors, you'll only get back 43% of what you spent. The next low-return project is installing new carpeting throughout the house. You'd think that would be a plus, but it could actually lower your home's value. Many buyers don't like carpet, and if they do, what are the odds they'll like the color you chose? A much better alternative is more expensive wood flooring. Installing a hardwood floor could get you back the entire investment plus 7%, so it's in the winner category. The next money loser is any elaborate renovation of the master bedroom. Knocking out a wall to increase its size and putting in upscale features like French doors and gas fireplaces will get a ho-hum from prospective buyers. The average return is just 50%. So instead, consider a fresh coat of paint and maybe upgrading a few fixtures to give the room an updated look. Now, this next one might surprise you because it's probably the most popular home improvement project of all, and that's a major kitchen renovation that could cost you a heart-stopping $100,000. The survey showed that a kitchen renovation returns just over 50% of its costs. And after a certain point, the more you spend, the smaller the percentage you get back. Obviously, if you're selling your house, you don't want to have run-down appliances and beat-up cabinets, so you'll want to update those. But keeping the overall cost down to just $20,000 could recoup up to 80% of your investment. But even then, you don't get all of your money back. Okay, time for one more, and this home improvement project is more popular in the South. It's adding on a sunroom. It's a great place to hang out in nice weather, letting sunlight in and keeping the bugs out, but with an average cost of $30,000, it's also a losing proposition as far as an investment. On average, you'll get back less than 50%. Now, I should mention that return on investment isn't the only consideration for doing a home improvement project. If you're trying to sell your house, but a 1950s kitchen or bathroom stands out like a sore thumb, you may have to do some updating just to sell the place. In that case, don't worry. You're likely to recoup your cost and more with appreciation. Something else you always have to consider is whether the project you're considering fits into your budget. Obviously, it's best to save the money first and pay cash, but when that's not possible, folks often take equity out of the home to pay for the renovation. If you refinance your home and take cash out to renovate, don't extend the term of your loan. If you take out what used to be called a second mortgage, make sure you go with a home equity loan, not a home equity line of credit or HELOC, because they usually have variable interest rates. Well, I know that's a lot to digest, but I hope it helps you with your next home improvement project. By the way, don't forget, future enjoyment's a big part of this as well. So if you're not thinking about selling right away, that may change your objectives in terms of thinking about your next renovation. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back just around the corner. Stick around.
On American Family Radio. Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. And it's even more important if you're a patriot. Almost 80% of Americans are living outside the influence of the church and are blinded to the truth. We need more God-loving citizens who elect God-loving politicians who restore us into being one nation under God. The essence of America is our freedom that's found in faith. Our founders warned us that a republic will only last as long as we remain a religious and virtuous people. They saw us then more clearly than we see ourselves today, as we've turned our back on God and lost our virtue and are suffering the consequences. God help us. If you're a Christian and a patriot, the most patriotic thing you can do is to lead as many people as possible to Jesus. And by using the Bible as our voter's guide, we can make America Christian again. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
The wear and tear of everyday life can take a significant toll on your marriage. On the next Focus on the Family, Dr. Randy Schrader offers practical tips for a marriage tune-up that will help you strengthen your relationship with your spouse. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hey, great to have you along with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we turn the corner to anything financial now, taking your calls and questions to apply the wisdom from the Bible to what you're dealing with today in your financial life. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, before we head to the phones, you know, if you need the wisdom, practical help, and discipline to save for future renovation projects, our opening topic today, I can think of no better tool than the MoneyWise app. In addition to managing all of your accounts in one place, it also includes a handy goals feature to help you save for future purchases, or in this case, renovation. You can choose from one of three budgeting options depending on your management style, and it's available on both desktop or mobile. By the way, the online discussions in the app are phenomenal too, and you can jump in there, participate, give your own thoughts on questions that are posed by others, and post your own question as well. So just head to moneywise.org, click the app tab for more details. That's moneywise.org and click app.
All right, we've got a few lines open today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to begin today in Houston, Texas. Bonnie, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have an annual annuity. I'm looking at a statement from 9/28/21 because the new premium that I pay is due like this month. I've had this for like 12 to 13 years. My total as of last year was about $9,500. I'm due to pay $500, which is just my what I pay every year to renew it. There's no expense charges on this accumulation record that I have. And I'm just wondering, is 3% guaranteed interest? And I'm just wondering if I should keep on doing it or if I should do something else with the $9,500 that are in it.
Yeah, yeah. The surrender charge is $9,500, and you're beyond the surrender period, meaning you could pull it out without any penalties. Is that right?
I have no clue what a surrender charge is.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm looking at my annual statement from 9/28/21 because they won't send me a new one until I pay the $500 and renew for the year.
I see. Yeah. Well, I'm not a huge fan of annuities, primarily because of what you're talking about. They have high fees associated with them. Plus, it locks up your money. I mean, yes, you're, putting that in exchange for a guaranteed rate of return. Although with interest rates, you know, where they are now and where they're headed, you can get, that rate pretty easily with pretty short-term CDs and not have any expenses associated with it. So I think this might be an opportunity for you to pull it out. Now, keep in mind, you need to understand the tax implications of pulling this money out. So you'd want to check on that just to make sure you understood what the implications are there. There are other options for that money. For instance, we've been talking a lot about I-bonds lately, inflation bonds. They're paying 9.62% right now, backed by the U.S. government, so very safe. You'd have to leave the money in for a year, but you'd get a lot more than 3%. You wouldn't have any cost associated with it whatsoever. And CDs are looking a lot more attractive right now if you're looking for guaranteed income or a guaranteed return, because that would have FDIC insurance on it. So, again, I'm not a huge fan of annuities. There is a place for them in certain retirement planning scenarios where you've exhausted all of your other tax-deferred options or where you're just looking to transfer the risk away from yourself and the market into an insurance company. But like I say, we're in a period right now where you essentially don't have to pay those fees and you could get a similar rate of return with just as much safety by being in a bank product or a bond, a government bond. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I listen to you all the time ever since you started after Dan.
Oh, okay. So, well,
yeah.
Thank you.
Hang on every word.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Well, thank you so much for listening and calling today. We appreciate it very much. I'm delighted we could be able to speak. I was a big fan of Dan. So sorry about his passing. He's in the face of Jesus right now, so he's doing pretty well. But what a huge honor to be able to step into this seat and carry on the ministry that he did through MoneyWise. So grateful for your call today. God bless you, Bonnie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. Let's see. Let's head back to the phones. We'll go next to North Fairfield, Ohio. Ed, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks, Rob. I was calling because I was seeking some insight on paying off some debts. I work a commission-only job, and I have credit card debt and medical debt, about $7,000 in credit card debt and about $10,000 to $11,000 in medical debt. And I'm just seeking insight on that.
Yeah. Are you in a position now, Ed, where you've got some margin? I mean, I realize you're on commission, so that probably ebbs and flows quite a bit. But have you been able to get to a place where you have enough in reserve that if you have a lean month, you're able to cover your bills and you have some left over that you could apply to these debts?
I'm working on getting that buffer back up. I ran into some issues in the past month where it was a very lean month. So working on getting those reserves back.
Sometimes
I'm overzealous in paying off more than what I probably should and need to hang on to more.
Yes. No, I totally get that. And we want to break the cycle. And I realize it's more challenging with commissioned income. So I think there's a couple of things that needs to happen. Number one is let's really dial into that spending plan and look for ways during this season while you're paying back debt to cut back as much as you can. Look for expenses to eliminate, cancel subscriptions. I mean, really kind of dial it back to the bare minimum. Let's get your commissions going into a savings account. Let's get it then an automatic transfer of what you need only to live on every month coming in to your spending account or your checking account. And then let's build up that buffer so we can smooth out those ebbs and flows and get you to break the cycle of the debt. I'd also love for you to save beyond that to $1,500 in an emergency fund as you're able. Now, the key is let's not try to focus right now while you're getting that buffer back on accelerating the debt reduction. What I'd love for you to do is just to get into a repayment plan, using probably debt management for the credit cards. Anything over $4,000, I recommend a credit counseling program. Our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org are phenomenal. They've worked with hundreds and hundreds of our listeners. They'll help you pay that off 80% faster through the reduced interest rates, getting you on a fixed payment plan. You're going to need to make sure, though, that they can do it, just depending on the status with the various collection agencies that may or may not have purchased this debt away from the original creditors, but they can help you establish that plan and get a regularly scheduled monthly payment where you'll be getting those balances, declining. Working with the medical providers or the collection agencies that have purchased those will be easier as well. And the good news is, based on recent legislation, Ed, as long as those medical debts are repaid at some point, when they are, that can be removed from your credit report. It has to be, actually, once it's paid in full. Not with the credit cards, but with the medical debt, that will have to come off. So I think the key is pull a copy of your credit report, find out who owns these debts, call Christian Credit Counselors or visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org, and then let's start establishing a repayment plan that fits into your budget after you do the hard work of trimming your expenses. You'll get there, my friend. Just stay at it. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman,
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today. Looks like we have one line open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Oklahoma. Paula, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Hi. I was just wanting to know, I came into about $40,000 and I have, I'm 59, no debt except for my house payment. And I have two pensions coming in, about $5,300. And I was wanting to know what I should do with the money, the $40,000, and then also what I should be doing with the extra income that I get every month.
Yeah, very good. So you're bringing in $5,300 a month through the two pensions, and how much do you usually have left over as surplus?
All of it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what are you using to live on?
I live with my mother, and we use her money to pay bills and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So how much have you accumulated before we consider the $40,000 you just received?
I have about $30,000 in a stock market and Roth IRA, and then I have about $8,000 in a savings, and then I just received the $41,000.
Okay. And is the living situation with your mom a new situation, or have you been there for a while?
We've been here for a while.
Okay. But if you've got $5,300 a month extra, where has that been going?
I just got that.
Oh, okay. That just started. Okay.
It was a VA. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, obviously you're in a great situation here. I love that you're there supporting your mom, and you've got plenty of margin, and you've got this $40,000. What does the, you said you own the home that you all live in. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. I got it with a VA loan. Yeah.
Okay. And what is the home worth, and what do you owe on it today?
I owe $130,000. Okay. And it's worth about 200 and something right now.
Okay, very good. Well, I think the first step is to build up that emergency reserve. You've got a great, more than enough with that $40,000. I think the question is, given this situation that your expenses are covered for the foreseeable future, I mean, normally I would say in this season of life, you probably need 6 months worth of expenses in a liquid reserve. Let's say that, is $3,000 a month, and it's not today, I realize, but let's say it was. I mean, that'd be 18, maybe 20,000 that you'd probably want to have in an emergency reserve. Beyond that, I think we've got really two options. Well, really three. One is you could look at increasing your giving if there's really opportunities that are on your heart that you want to be able to do more with. The second is to prepay the mortgage. So I wouldn't use up all of your liquid reserves by any means, especially given that that's probably a low interest rate mortgage. But I'd love for you to get that paid off. As quick as you can. And so, paying extra, maybe, you know, adding a certain amount every month beyond the scheduled mortgage payment that goes right to principal would be a great option. And then the third option is really just to, you know, put more money away and begin investing that for the future. So I think, you know, if you don't have earned income, you can't contribute to the Roth IRA, but we could start systematically investing in an account that could be deployed into the stock market in a very conservative, you know, stock and bond portfolio. In your situation, given that you are 59, you don't have any expenses. I mean, I could see you putting as much as 50% in stocks and 50% in bonds and allow that money to grow, especially while this market is down. I mean, we're down a considerably from our high at the beginning of the year, late last year. And so it'd be a great opportunity for you to begin what's called dollar cost averaging into the market, where you're systematically deploying this money into the stock market in a way that is conservative. Again, not all stocks, but where you have some good, stable, fixed income bond type investments in there as well. But that's then something that could be growing for you so that down the road, you know, if the Lord calls your mom home first, you know, and you're, you know, living on your pension, now you've got a reserve to fall back on if you ever needed long-term care assistance or you had major medical expenses, things like that, you'd be building your assets. How does all that sound?
That's perfect. And I have about 8,000 right now in my reserve, and I just have it like at Synchrony online savings bank.
I think that's great.
And,
yeah.
And then so add about maybe 12 more to that, correct?
I would. Yeah, get that up to 20. Okay. I'd probably look at putting 10,000 in the I-bonds, which are paying 9.6% right now.
Yep. I registered for that last night. I was going to do that today.
Excellent. Okay. And then the rest I would probably put into an account. Now, you have a small enough amount now that it probably doesn't make sense to hire an advisor. So you could either use one of the robo-advisors. Sounds pretty technical, but basically you'd go to, I would suggest the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, open just a taxable account, or you could do it wherever your Roth IRA is as well. The key would be to get that into probably some good, high-quality, low-cost index funds that have about a 50% allocation to the broad stock market and a 50% allocation to the bond market, and just systematically invest in it. So as the market recovers, and it will ahead of the economy, even though that may be next year, you'll take advantage of those, you know, of the recovery, get some good growth out of that, and you'd be, you know, looking long term with that money 10 years plus.
Perfect. So
okay.
You said index funds and bond market funds?
Yeah, so both are index funds. The index is just the one is indexed to the U.S. stock market, kind of a broad allocation, and one is indexed to the bond market with a mix of short-term and long-term, you know, duration, government and corporate bonds. You could do that with a kind of an automated approach through a robo-advisor like Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. You'd answer a series of questions, and then they would deploy an indexed approach using exchange-traded funds. Sounds complicated. It's really not, but it's very low cost, and it would automatically be rebalanced or reinvested every time you make a deposit. And given the amount of surplus you have every month, I could see you making a consistent deposit to this account of, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month. So that's called the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. I'd check that out. Sounds like you're in great shape, Paula. Thanks for calling today. God bless you. We'll be right back on MoneyWise at American Family Radio. Stick around.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
The CFO of Bed Bath & Beyond had what every business person wants: prestige, influence, and money. Sadly, something was broken inside, and the pressure became unbearable. He jumped from a building and killed himself. I wish I could have talked to him before he listened to Satan's lie. I would have told him that God cares about his trouble and pain and wants to help. Many of us are hurting, but Jesus can help. Don't listen to the devil's lie. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs.
Through CHM's voluntary health cost-sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
At MoneyWise, we are on a mission to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from MoneyWise and believe in this mission, would you consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron? Check out all the benefits of a MoneyWise patron's membership at moneywise.org and click Give on the homepage.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise and American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we apply God's wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. Looks like we have one line open, 800-525-7000. Back to the phones we go. Michelle in Tennessee, go right ahead.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Go right ahead.
So, a little bit about it is I pretty much have some medical debt. It's been about 4 years. I tried to work with them, and I applied for some assistance. This was in Virginia.
Okay.
Actually, one of the debts is in Virginia. I believe one is in Florida. And so anyway, try to work with them. Unfortunately, I didn't get any help doing that, and I kind of let it lay to the wayside. And now I'm realizing that was a really bad decision, and I'm really just looking for the best ways to try and consolidate, if possible, the two separate debts that I have, one in Florida, one in Virginia, and just seeing what kind of assistance might be out there to do that.
Yeah. Very good. So these are all, both of them are old medical bills. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And who is the current creditor on these? Have they been sold to a collection agency?
They have been sold to a collection agency. And unfortunately, I don't have that name right now.
Okay, that's fine. What I would probably do, Michelle, is pull a copy of your credit report and maybe even all three at annualcreditreport.com just to figure out exactly who is the currently the one reporting that, you know, you are delinquent and who currently owns the debt. And then, you know, what you'll find is, especially with medical bills, they're very willing to work with you. I think the key is that you need to go back to your budget and figure out how much you can afford to send for a monthly payment plan so that when you work that payment plan out and commit to it, you know that it's something you can follow through on. I'd rather you not try to take out a new loan of some kind in any form to roll these in together. I would just leave them right where they are, work out a repayment plan. And here's the reality is that because of recent legislation and because they're medical debts, once the medical debt is repaid in full, it will be removed from your credit report, which is different than other types of debt like credit cards, where even though it's been paid in full and it shows a zero balance, it'll stay there for seven years.
Wow. Okay. That is good news.
Yes. So you can get that taken right off there. So I think the key right now is figure out exactly who they are, give them a call, whatever you work out, get it in writing, and then make sure you can follow through on it, which means you've got to start with that budget. We've got to make sure that whatever you agree to is sustainable. And if you don't have an emergency fund, let's try to get, you know, at least $1,500, $2,000 into emergency savings as quickly as you can so that we can, you know, break the cycle of having to use debt in any form, you know, when the unexpected comes.
Okay. Awesome. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Hey, thanks for calling, Michelle. If we can help again along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. Let's see. Let's head to Oklahoma. Travis, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear
sure.
me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll be fast. I am 43. My wife and I are both self-employed. We have very little debt, only my work truck. I have about $50,000 in savings. I really don't know how to invest. I don't know anything about investing. So I'm just looking for a way to maybe invest about half my money to start thinking about investments for retirement.
Okay. Do you have any retirement assets at all at this point?
No.
Okay, that's all right. You know, you got to start somewhere, right? And I think the key is to really focus on, especially as a self-employed individual, Travis, that you really work on keeping your expenses as low as possible so that as you have the ability, you can get as much going into you know, long-term investments on a tax-favored basis moving forward. My favorite tool for this is going to be what's called a SEP IRA, S-E-P, a SEP IRA. And as a self-employed business owner, you can put away as much as $61,000 a year or 25% of your income, 25% of your compensation, which is obviously a lot more than you could put into a traditional or a Roth IRA, which would be over the age of 15, $7,000. So, you know, these contributions will go in tax deductible. And, you know, very simple to set up. And then that money can grow for you over time, you know, as you get that invested. I'd probably start with, you know, maybe Charles Schwab or Fidelity. If you want kind of a low cost automated investment option, I'd probably go with the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, where they'd use index funds to build a stock and bond portfolio. At your age, probably largely stocks. But where you're just capturing the broad moves of the market, not trying to pick individual equities. But the key is that you get that money going in on a tax-deferred basis. So you get the deduction on the front end, and then it's going to grow tax-deferred so the taxes aren't going to put a drag on the investments over time. And then you know, you'll have the ability to you know, take advantage of that down the road as you pull that out in retirement. So it's called, again, a SEP, S-E-P IRA. I think the key for you is to try to work out how much you can get going in there, you know, every month. And it's often challenging, you know, when you have your own business. You got to keep good books, keep the business separate from your personal finances to the best of your ability. Try to pay yourself a consistent salary as you can build up, you know, some money in the business, and then get, you know, a good bit of that going into the retirement account as you're able to. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, that helps. One more quick question. So would you suggest out of my $50,000 in savings that I start with like half of that? Because I don't want to deplete my savings, because if I, you know, have to, if I get hurt or something, I can't work, I need some backup funds. So
I totally agree.
Start with maybe like half.
Well, okay. let's think through that. What are your monthly expenses total for a month? Best of your, you know, best guess.
Oh, gee, I'd say maybe somewhere around $3,000 or $4,000.
All right, let's say it's $4,000. I'd probably, you know, keep as much as half of that for sure, because that would give you about 6 months worth of expenses. And if the unexpected comes, you know, you see a dip in the amount of work you have access to, as you said, maybe you get hurt. That allows you to ride through for at least 6 months without having to tap into money that you'd otherwise have to pay a penalty on if you're pulling it out of a retirement account. So yeah, I think at a minimum, you want to keep $25,000 back as you get started with this.
Okay, so invest that, and then maybe try to put in like $500 a month and just make that a monthly requirement for myself, and that'd be a good start. in a SEP IRA.
I think that would be a great start, and then try to figure out what you can put in on a systematic basis moving forward as you have additional surplus coming in. So that'll get you going in the right direction, Travis, and if we can help further along the way, let us know. We appreciate your call today.
All right.
Hey, a quick email before we take our next break and then back to your calls. Plus, Jerry Boyer joins us here on a Friday to weigh in on the markets and the economy. This one comes to us from a listener named Robert. He said, I understand I should be saving, investing, and planning for the future, but I have the hardest time in some of these areas because I feel like my savings is in a way hoarding. And I love that question because I think we all need to be asking this question, how much is enough? Saving can turn into hoarding. It's really a heart attitude. Are we ultimately trusting in God for our needs or ourselves? And as long as our trust is in Him and we've defined enough for both lifestyle and accumulation, then I think we're absolutely in the right and biblical to save for the future. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. At the height of Jesus' ministry, some men brought to Him a paralyzed man. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." This man had come seeking a miracle. What do you think he felt when he heard Jesus say, "Your sins are forgiven"? Was it relief or disappointment? You know, sometimes there's nothing wrong with what we want most, but in that moment, we can be blind to God's goodness when He gives us instead what we need the most. Now, in this case, Jesus went on and He healed that paralytic, but not before making the point that this man's greatest need was not his physical healing, but a right relationship with his Father in heaven. Get daily encouragement in God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchor.com.
45,000. That's how many times MoneyWise referred a listener to a Certified Kingdom Advisor, or CKA, last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to moneywise.org and clicking the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Before we head back to the phones, it's Friday. That means our good friend Jerry Boyer joins us. Jerry is president of Boyer Research. He's a contributor and columnist at the Christian Post. And Jerry, tough week in the markets. Sounds like perhaps the market is reacting to the Fed's decision. You think the market believes the Fed's getting ahead of themselves with this additional rate hike?
Well, I think the market thinks the Fed is going to continue to hike more aggressively. And one of the things you have to remember about markets is they only care about the past to the degree that the past gives insight about the future. I mean, you buy stocks or bonds for what they're going to pay you in the future.
Yeah.
So what happened with the decision this week, the decision surprised nobody.
Right.
75 basis points was fully priced in to the futures markets and to the pundits. Everybody knew that was coming. What they didn't know was coming was sort of in the details. And so when we have these Fed decisions, they say, here's the number, you know, 75 basis points up. That's 0.75% for people who aren't in finance. We're raising interest rates 0.75%. But in professional investors start to like open up the report, like prophets going through chicken entrails, you know, to try to figure out what the gods are going to will in the future. In this case, you know, the people who run our financial system,
right.
Who are not gods, but often act like they are.
Right.
And all the details were basically pointing towards them raising more in the future than was expected. They have something called the dot plot where they predict themselves. It's really kind of like, this is getting like wheels within wheels. Right. So the Fed members, they ask them, hey, Fed members, what do you think you're going to do next year? So if they're predicting that they'll probably raise, then that makes it more likely they'll raise. And so markets are, you and I have talked about this so much, it's really weird. With an $8 trillion Fed balance sheet, the single biggest investor in American markets is no particular bank or no particular money manager or no particular individual investor. It is our own central bank. And so every day, if we think they're going to be buyers, then that's good for the market. And if we think they're going to be sellers, that's bad for the market. And tightening rates is just another way of saying that they're going to be sellers.
Interesting. Jerry, you and I were trading some emails this morning about Cathie Wood's recent comments. Now, obviously, Cathie has built investment products that leverage high growth, primarily tech-oriented stocks that benefited from the easy money policies. But she was out this week saying that really inflation started a few years ago with COVID and supply chain bottlenecks. That was all exacerbated by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And the Fed is solving supply chain issues by crushing demand, setting us up for inflation. She then cites the declines we've seen in lumber, copper, oil, iron ore, DRAM, corn, across the board. What are your thoughts just on this idea that perhaps the Fed's going too far?
Well, my thoughts are before those things went down, they went up a lot. So we're trying to undo some of the inflation. I mean, it's really hard to kind of differentiate someone's opinion from their interest,
sure.
Right? In the case of Cathie Woods, who, by the way, I admire a lot, and she's a fellow Christian, and that's even more admiration. But her fund did very well by betting on already very expensive companies that they would continue to go up, even though they were at what is arguably bubble valuations. Well, what enabled that? Well, the Fed enabled that. When the Fed was a buyer, when it was buying like crazy, that pushes up the value of stocks and bonds, and it especially pushes up the value of highly speculative assets like tech companies. So, I mean, you live by the Fed, you die by the Fed, right?
If we
want the Fed to push up bubbles, but we don't want them to deflate the bubbles when they're inflationary.
Sure.
I think, look, these commodity prices are signaling recession. Well, okay, if a recession is coming, then it's coming. I mean, when you create a bubble, there's really not an easy way out without maybe actually having to go through a recession to fight inflation. That's what we learned in 1980 with Paul Volcker and Ronald Reagan. And so it might not be avoidable. Some of this pain not be avoidable. One of the reasons we have such big bubbles is we're not willing to take any pain at all. And the pain of a down market is bad, 20% or 30% down. Of course, the pain for the ARK fund, which is high tech, the bubble territory, that's much worse. But, that's what this business is. If you're going to bet on easy Fed policy pumping up a bubble, then you have to deal with the losses that come when the bubble pops.
Yeah. Jerry, obviously, the Fed's comments about continuing to fight inflation and continuing to keep this trajectory on raising rates is part of what's weighing on the market. Do you think there's a possibility that inflation could decline more rapidly than we expected?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, not only a possibility, but I would say a base case. Inflation really peaked about, depending on which metric you use, which measurement, really peaked about May or June. It hasn't declined much, right? You and I talked about this. So if you have a 9.5% inflation rate and you go down to an 8% inflation rate, that's lower, but it's still high, okay? So inflation is still high, which is why the Fed's still serious about fighting it. But I do think that it will continue to decline in the short run, but remain above average. So there's no easy way out of this. One of the things that's helping us is the world is such a mess right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Japan right now has a yen collapsing. They've actually had to intervene in the market to stop the yen from collapsing further against the dollar. The European Union is going into a serious energy crisis, partly driven by the Ukraine crisis, which is almost certainly recessionary. So the euro has been falling. United Kingdom has a transition in leadership, and I'm not talking about from the queen to the king, we could
that
probably is a decline in leadership quality. But I'm also talking about the prime minister, and the pound has been falling in response to that, especially big spending programs to deal with the energy crisis. So a lot of the big Japan, European Union, China, and United Kingdom, those are the big financial players. They're all in a worse crisis than we are, which means that there's enough demand for the dollar to hedge against that, that some of the dollars that would have been bouncing around here causing inflation are out there being held in the vaults of speculators as a hedge against their own falling currencies.
Mm, interesting. Well, Jerry, always appreciate your insights. A lot to watch, and we will continue to get no shortage of data in the days and weeks ahead. So we'll continue to get you. That's it. It is a gift. Remind us again, that's what the word data means, correct?
Yeah, it's from a Latin and a Greek word, do, dari, dedi, datus, right? To give or to make a gift. Datus is gift, something given. It's a gift. So if it's painful, it's still a gift. It's telling us something about the state of the world. When markets are declining, what does it say? When the wicked rule, the people groan. Mm. Declining markets are a form of groaning about, let's take, wicked is a little, highly charged, but bad leadership shows up in groaning, including groaning in the markets.
Mm, well, we're certainly seeing some groaning right now. All right, my friend, listen, thankful for your insights each Friday, and you have a great weekend. Tell the team I said hello.
You too. God bless.
All right, bye-bye. Jerry Boyer, president of Boyer Research and columnist at the Christian Post. All right, back to the phones as we round out the program today. Bill, you've been very patient there in Columbus. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to find out what are the steps or the rules you have to go through to give from your IRA to a charitable gift annuity, so you don't have to pay any taxes on it.
Yeah, well, the benefit is that you usually get up to about a 50% tax deduction on the donation to the charitable gift annuity, countering the income tax you will pay on the distribution. So you can't just do a rollover because you get a benefit when the money goes into the charitable gift annuity. So you'd have to take a distribution, which would, could, depending on your age, if you're required, satisfy your required minimum. But then you could offset some of that income tax from the distribution when you make the contribution to the CGA.
I see. So is there a certain age you have to be to do that?
Well, no. No, at any time you could take that money out. I mean, over 59 and a half is when you would, not have a penalty of any kind. You would not be able to use a qualified charitable distribution for this. So essentially, as you're taking that money out, creating a distribution which is taxable, that money is then available to fund the charitable gift annuity. If you happen to be 72 and need to do a required minimum, the distribution could satisfy that at the same time.
Oh, okay. You'd have to be 72 then.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't have to pay taxes on an IRA account where it comes out of an IRA account or what?
No, your age really doesn't matter. The age just really has to do with whether you have a required minimum or not. But regardless, you're going to have to take a distribution from your IRA. When you take that distribution, that gets added to your taxable income. And then you can, in a sense, counter that through the donation, because you can usually get up to about a 50% tax deduction on the donation to the charitable gift annuity. So I would consult with a tax advisor on this, specifically related to your situation, how much you're looking to put in, what kind of income will you get out of it based on your age, and then they'll help you calculate the actual deduction that you'd receive for the contribution going in, because some of that contribution is going to be coming back out to you in the form of income. Some of it will stay with the charity. So therefore, any portion that's a deduction can offset the tax that would have to be paid on that distribution as the money's coming out of the IRA. So get some tax advice on this, Bill. I love the CGA. I think that could be a great option for you, but you want to make sure you understand fully the tax implications of doing it. We appreciate your call today. Carlos, Margaret, Eileen, so sorry we didn't get to you today. We appreciate you calling in. We'd love to get you on a future broadcast. Let me say thank you to my team today. Pat Montague handling our phones today. Devin Patrick, our engineer and producer. Mr. Jim Henry providing great research for me today. Thank you for being along with us. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy church and come back and join us next week. We'll look for you then. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.